My name is Mustafa Yusuf Ali, the Secretary General of the African Council of Religious Leaders, which is based in Nairobi.
Can you explain what is the African Council of Religious Leaders?
The African Council of Religious Leaders is a multi-religious interfaith organization bringing together senior religious leaders from across Africa to work together to transform conflict in Africa, to build peace, and to work for just and harmonious societies.
What is the role of the ACRL in Africa?
ACRL plays a crucial role to intervene in crisis situations in many parts of Africa. The council is normally called upon to missions in areas where there's conflict. The council is able to intervene and bring together to the negotiating table those groups that are fighting. The other role is to mobilize religious leaders to work together in common action, both Muslims and Christians, normally and mainly here in Africa. The council has worked in and continues to work at the moment in Somalia to bring together the warring factions. It is working with the elders and religious leaders to find ways to end the war in Somalia. We are working in the Sudan. We are working in Burundi, in Rwanda, in the Democratic Republic of Congo, and used to work in Sierra Leone and Liberia when the countries were at war.
Religion is sometimes a cause of war, so it's paradoxal that religious leaders wants to prevent it.
Yeah. In fact, people and groups fighting for resources and power, and then they misuse religion to get whatever else they want. That's when we ask the religious leaders to prevent the misuse of religion by anybody, by unscrupulous politicians, by the so-called religious leaders, self-appointed religious leaders who want to use religion to fight wars, to mobilize young people. That is when then the religious leaders that we work with, we ask them to prevent the misuse of religion. We ask them to engage the people that it is not religion, in fact, that people are fighting for in the wars. It's just being used as a vehicle by politicians and other people to fight their own wars. In Somalia, it's the quest for political power, and the groups like Al-Shabaab and others are using Islam to gain political power, misusing younger generation, young people, to get to war. And that's when we ask, and we are indeed asking the religious leaders and elders in Somalia to engage with those young people, engage with the warring factions to stop the misuse of religion for political purposes.
Can the religious leader have enough power to get this message to the population?
Yes, they do. The religious leaders in Africa are very powerful people and entrusted also. And therefore, they can use their position to engage politicians, state officials, government officials, and most importantly, the young people who are the ones who are misused to carry arms, not to carry those arms. What we need to do, however, is to engage them, build their capacities, and equip them sufficiently to be able to respond to those crises, and to also bring them so that they can work together in situations where they need to work together.
To help people to understand they are manipulated, we have to educate them. Are the religious leaders helping to build schools, for example?
Yeah. Many schools in Africa actually are established by religious institutions, religious leaders, faith communities. And we are encouraging the religious leaders to use those platforms and others to educate the younger generation to understand and respect one another, Muslims, Christians, and other people from other religions. And that will be a basis on which then peaceful communities are built. If a Christian understands a Muslim understands a Christian, they will not fight each other. they will understand the commonalities that they have. If a Muslim understand a Jewish person, a Jewish person understand a Muslim, then they are bound to respect each other, and they are not going to have conflicts or fight each other. And therefore education is key in this work.
How we can make it real that people understand each face of the other?
We are already doing that. There are many programs that Muslims and Christians are working together. There is the in Africa, the African Religious Youth Network, a platform of religious young people where they engage, work together, educate each other to respect each other. They have workshops at the national level. They have national chapters of ARIN, and at the Pan-African level, they have the leadership normally meet every year to engage the young people, educate them about the dangers of extremist ideas.
In an ACRL ad, you say peace, it's possible, but there are always war in the world for many, many times.
Yeah, it is true, and most of the wars that were fought in the 20th century were wars fought on political grounds. They were wars fought on the basis of religion. But the wars that took most lives, that were most horrific, were fought on political grounds. And therefore, if we are to preach the true religion that asks me to respect the other person, that asks me to respect you, that asks you to respect me, that asks and commands me to wish that what I wish for myself is what I wish for you, and what you wish for yourself is what you wish for me, then we are not going to fight each other. We should not be wishing harm for each other if we do not wish harm for ourselves. And if we are to be true to our own religion, then there should not be war. There should not be fighting each other. We do not necessarily look at the absence of war as if that is peace. No, it is beyond that, that there is no poverty, that the diseases that afflict so many are prevented, cured, so that they live peaceful lives. And we believe that religious communities, faith communities, can work together to with others to ensure that we live in just, harmonious and peaceful societies.
But we are different from each other, and sometimes it makes us to think that the others are a threat for us. How we can manage to not to think like that?
Uh-huh. In the Bible, in the Quran, even in the Jewish Torah, God tells us that He has created us to be different from each other, the color of the skin, the languages that we speak, but we are human beings. We are same, all of us, and therefore we should not fear each other. We should rather learn to understand each other. And when we understand each other, then we are going to respect one another. And when we respect one another, then we will not feel that you are a threat to me, and you will not feel that I am a threat to you. We are going to rather work together for a more peaceful world.
Here in Réunion Island, we are living in peace, but peace is fragile. How we can protect it?
I think it's not difficult to protect the peace. First of all, it's important that everybody here in Réunion have, especially the younger generation, have access to opportunities, education opportunities, employment, are treated right. There's no discrimination, and there's good governance, democracy, and respect for everybody across all generations. That is a starting point to have and to protect the peace that you do have here. Secondly, it's important that the religious differences that are here are not manipulated by outside forces to cause a situation whereby people or groups of people feel discriminated. The moment that happens, then people retreat into their own communities and cut off from the rest of the community. And that is a beginning of a conflict. And to protect peace that you have here in Reunion, it is key that all segments of societies are engaged, involved, and they speak to each other. Then the peace will be protected here in Reunion.
And you say it's less difficult to maintain peace than to stop the war?
Yes, once a war starts, it's all relationships cut, destroyed. It's much easier to build friendship. It's much easier to engage for peace. Once war starts, then it's going to be absolutely difficult to stop that and restore the relationships that have been destroyed by the war.
Why are you invited here?
Oh, I met a number of religious leaders, the bishop and Idris in Mauritius when we were launching the Indian Ocean Island Interfaith Network. And therefore, I was invited here to help in strengthening the interfaith, the interreligious network here. And secondly, I'm here to also have the interfaith group here formally a partner with Religions for Peace International through an affiliation agreement that we're going to sign when I'm here.
Do you think it's important to be related to Religions for Peace for our interfaith group in Reunion?
Oh yeah, I think it's very important that the interfaith group here in Reunion engage with the Religions for Peace International, whose headquarters is in New York. Every 5 years, we have an assembly whereby senior religious leaders from the interreligious councils and the interfaith groups around the world meet every 5 years to elect their leadership, to engage and contribute into the priorities of what the Religions for Peace International should be doing around the world as far as conflict transformation is concerned, as far as the religious leaders and faith communities can do to further and strengthen world peace. And we believe that the religious leaders in the Union can engage and can contribute to the world peace and the peace in the Indian Ocean Island countries.